Welcome to the Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome back. So I've been looking through some of my stats recently, and I've been really, really happy with the listenership and how many questions I've been getting. And I've been looking at the stats in the episodes, and one of the episodes really kind of jumps out. And that is two episodes ago when we talked about pricing and being a farmer versus a hunter in your reselling. So as you know, a lot of YouTube videos and a lot of podcasts really emphasize going out and for the hunt and finding those items that you can make 10x your money. And what I've said and what my philosophy is that I'd much rather be a farmer that gets, you know, 2 and 3x my money, but I could do it repeatedly over and over and over again. So I think that was maybe a lot of you guys agree with me, or maybe you don't agree with me. Let me know. You know, via email or send me a note on the website. I just think it's much more sustainable business model. Anyways, going a little bit deeper in that, we've talked about also in episode 6 about knowing your numbers, and that was going down your budgeting and all the other numbers you have in your business to kind of understand how to run your business in a way that you can be profitable. So one of the things that we did talk about briefly in that episode was margin. So margin, if you're not making money, you shouldn't be doing this business. I mean, that's really just ultimately what the issue is. But not only margin, your overall margin, you want to know your margin per each platform that you're selling on. So that's going to tell you whether or not it's profitable. And we're going to go through the platforms that I sell on. I sell on 4 platforms, primarily. Of course, you know that I also sell on Facebook and Instagram. Well, mostly Facebook, frankly. And I don't sell a hell of a lot there just yet because I haven't really had a lot of focus on it. But we have the 4 different platforms, and I'm going to go over those platforms, the pluses and minuses of each, and then I'm going to go over my margin at the end of each evaluation. Now, mind you, these platforms may not apply to you because if you're obviously selling hard goods, you're not going to sell too many of those on Poshmark, for instance, but Mercari and eBay specifically are really good for moving hard goods. And you know, I don't move hard goods very few anyway, so I don't list them on Poshmark. But unless those hard goods, of course, are related to beauty, you can do that then. Anyway, so let's go through the first platform I want to review. So let's start with the monster eBay. So, of course, there's 180 million users of eBay. And, of course, so if you're doing anything in the reselling business, you're going to want to be listing on eBay. There's no, you just can't avoid it. It's kind of like the Amazon domination and retail arbitrage. So, we talked about retail arbitrage. I'm not going to go into it again, but this has been essentially finding on sale goods at Walmart and Target and then reselling them. And Amazon's the way to move that. You don't want to buy large quantities of inventory and try to move it on eBay, for instance. Just the market is much larger. So anyway, eBay in the reselling business, in the used good resale business primarily, is king. So you won't be able to avoid it. I don't see very many Poshmark sellers. They're full-time Poshmark sellers. They exist, but there are plenty of eBay full-time sellers. Anyway, so eBay, they're the biggest, number one. Their fee structure, however, is definitely a hard pill to swallow when you're actually working with eBay. Of course, they charge for everything. So we'll start with the subscription costs. So a starter store, which I don't really know anybody who has a starter store, frankly, is $4.95 a month with an annual subscription. Now, that's not a store that's really functional. A basic store, which would be kind of your first entry-level store, is $21.95 a month. A premium, which has basically larger discounts and is designed for a little bit larger of a store, basically 1,000 items, is about $59 or $59.95 a month. And certainly you get some benefits with that. You get some lower fees And of course you get some discounts on supplies. And then the Anchor store, which is $299.95 or $300 a month, with an annual subscription, you can have up to 10,000, and anything over that, you're going to be enterprise, and that's about $3,000 a month. So obviously this is a big number. Now, once you hit your listing fees, you still have final value fees. And so you don't really save anything. These fees, these monthly fees that you're paying, still, you still have additional fees beyond that. And that's, of course, less than it used to be because, they've gotten rid of PayPal or using PayPal for them primarily. So, and to manage payments, and then, but you know, those costs are really negligible. So long story short, that, having an eBay store is not a cheap endeavor. A matter of fact, I would suggest that having a eBay store that's certainly in the Anchor or enterprise level, most of those people have to have other things like warehouses and things like that to manage those number of listings. So a lot of people stay within the premium store range. I don't really even know that many Anchor stores out there. I think there is a tipping point. Certainly, when I went up to about 3,000 listings, which I think that tipping point is when it made more sense to have an Anchor store versus a premium store. But you have to work out those numbers. You know, your final value fees are going to differ depending on what market you sell. And if you're selling auto related equipment stuff, or you're selling clothes, or you're selling hard goods, I mean, they all have different final value fees. And so you have to kind of work that out. But at the end of the day, it's a very, very expensive endeavor. But of course, with that, you get traffic. It is unbeatable. Other than Amazon, of course, the traffic that you're going to get to your items is going to be the highest on eBay, bar none, right? I don't care how good or what product it is. If it fits within a market category that eBay sells, it's going to sell more there than others. So illustrating this, I have, I'm looking at my sales for October, which is not quite up yet, but it will be, in a few days, but I've 80%, no, actually closer to, yeah, 85% of my sales come from eBay. So there's no way you can't afford to be on eBay. But what does that mean in terms of margin? So let's talk about margin first. So margin is calculated pretty easily. It's basically taking all your costs, you know, so your sales minus your cost of goods minus your shipping and fees, and then dividing that by the amount that you sold the item for. And okay, so my margin on eBay items is 47%. Okay, so that's actually still very, very good. I mean, to put this in perspective, I mean, that's my gross margin. So we're going to, well, net margin is a little bit different because I don't calculate net margin. I calculate my net margin as across my entire store, not just one market. So that's going to be, it's slightly different the way I do that. And so we'll go into to net margin after this. But basically, I'm looking at my gross margin as 47%. And if you think about a retailer that is selling goods out there, the margins, of course, most retailers are selling new goods. So this is, it's apples and oranges to some extent, but the margins are usually within the, let's call it 3-10% range. So 47% is nothing to balk at. That is a great margin. Of course, with eBay, there's other downsides. The platform is pretty old. And so, some of the user interface issues that you can incur while you're actually working with eBay can be problematic, but overall the platform does work, and they do have occasional glitches that you need to kind of work your way through that I think some of the other platforms have kind of ironed out because their platform is not as big and has less bells and whistles and doesn't serve as many markets and so on. But for the most part, you can work within those constraints, and it is definitely a profitable platform.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Okay, so the next one I wanted to go over is a Grailed. Grailed is actually, think of Grailed as Poshmark, but for men's clothes, although they do have a women's clothes section. I think it's called Heroin. That is connected. It's similar to Posh, but anyway, Grailed is basically the Posh for men, and a Grailed small platform. There are some complications with the platform. It's obviously cheap to use. You're basically paying about between 7 and 10% commission essentially for your sale, your goods. So that, think of that similar to eBay's final value fees. But there is no transaction fee per se, other than if you take PayPal, of course, and there's PayPal fees. Grailed, the upsides, of course, is that it's men's fashion, so you don't have to worry too much about having as many returns. Now, I'm not trying to be sexist, but women buyers have a tendency to return things more, which is fine, which is why I stay out of women's clothes. Probably because they're a little bit more discerning than men when it comes to clothes. But you don't really have that in the Grail platform, and so and of course there's no returns anyway. There has to be pretty extenuating circumstances for returns. You don't really have some of the return issues you would have with eBay, for instance, fraudulent returns and thing that you can return stuff. And I have had stuff returned to me, when people ask for a refund, and there is the possibility that they can go to PayPal directly and put a dispute against something that they purchased through you, which is kind of a hassle because it's separated, obviously. One of the good things about going to manage payments in eBay. That being said, there are some complications around that. I would say also one of the big things with Grailed as well is you can charge for shipping, and it's kind of customary that people do charge for shipping. But when you get a, you put the list, the amount that you want to charge for shipping in your posting, in your listing, but when they make the offer, if they make an offer other than what you've listed for, it's without shipping. So that can be kind of confusing sometimes to some people. And the real big thing is, since it's mostly on your phone that you're dealing with this, sometimes you have to really, really pay attention to where they are located for shipping, because I've had, as a matter of fact, my very first sale on Grailed was a nightmare because the guy was in the UK. And he bought something and he offered me a lot of money for it. He asked me exactly what I said I would sell it for, but he was in the UK and I shipped it to him, and it was, $25 to ship a $25 shirt. And of course that was really problematic. So I always take offers if they're reasonable on Grailed, if they're in the United States. But if they're not in the United States, you just got to be really, really careful, because it happens a lot. There's a lot of international buyers. That's good, though. It's growing. I've made just as many sales in Grailed this month than I made in Poshmark, for instance. And so there's definitely a market there. Obviously, nothing's going to be near eBay, so just get that out of your head. But they do have a lot of users, and it is growing quickly. The interface, pretty easy, but the way you negotiate going back and forth is a little bit more difficult than I would say eBay is. But with this, you get better margin. So my margin with Grailed is 50%. Okay. So obviously you're paying for the use of third-party shipping software. So I use Pirate Ship. I get nothing from it, but Pirate Ship seems to be the best. I started off with stamps.com, and it was a little bit more expensive than Pirate Ship. So I really encourage people to use Pirate Ship. It's only for US postage though. Keep in mind that you have to build shipping into your price, knowing that most people on Grailed, I've had very few sales that didn't start with negotiation. Unlike eBay, where things will pop up and eventually, and people will buy without negotiating sometimes, if you ask for a fair price. In Grailed, they always negotiate. Not as much as Mercari, which was, we'll get to that. But my margin with Grailed is 50%. So no fees, no fees to own a store. Small fees, 7 to 10% if you, when you sell an item, PayPal fees. Okay. So the way I track that is very simple, is I track the net sale in my accounting software, and then I add shipping on top of that. So anyway. All right, the next one is Mercari. And don't worry, I'm getting to Poshmark, guys. I know that people are saying, why'd you do Grail before Poshmark? You'll see why. Okay, so the next one is Mercari. Now, Mercari is interesting because Mercari is a kind of a hybrid PC or computer and a mobile based environment. So you can do a lot of stuff on your mobile, but I think that obviously I use my computer a lot more with Mercari, not as much as eBay, but certainly Mercari, I do. The issue with Mercari is there's a few areas that I think I just want to have a gotcha. So first of all, the fees are low. They're 10%. Great. I think they just came up with they were going to raise them. I don't know what the new rate is going to be, but currently they're at 10%. I think it's going to be 12%. I think it was very slight. It wasn't that big. So it'll cut in your margin, but not too much. There are no fees for transactions. There's no fees to have a store. You can list as much as you want. I wouldn't say gate is probably not the right word, but they do actually limit how many listings you have initially until they kind of figure out that you're okay. But you can get through that pretty quickly. I sell probably of the 85%. They said it was eBay. Probably the next 10% is probably Mercari. I sell a lot of Mercari. Mercari, so you could sell just about anything. They don't have some of the Vero types of issues you have with eBay. I don't even think they have a Vero department. I will tell you that their customer service is not great. You could send them an email, and if it's something easy, you'll get an email back about 24 to 48 hours later. But I will tell you that if you want anything that's a little complicated or have a complicated question, you're not going to get an answer. They will either not answer at all, or they'll provide you an answer to something else that's similar that's not going to help you. So I was looking to just move everything to email notifications. I have a reason for that, and someday I'll tell you why. But getting a push notifications on your phone all the time it's not really a good way to track stuff. For me. And so I've, I had a little bit of trouble getting it. Now I've figured it out myself, down the road, but, they weren't complete in their instructions. Just leave it at that. I've also had some buyer problems. The people there have a tendency to ask a lot of questions and, a lot of low ball offers, much more than any other platform. You're going to get low ball offers all day long in Mercari, and you just have to learn how to ignore them. Also, one of the things I think I found very, very difficult, and I've had to kind of adjust for it, I never make offers on Mercari ever. Now, maybe other people don't agree with that, but the reason why I don't make them is because what they do is that they lower your price on the entire platform on that item. And so then now when you get some new people on, you're not starting off at your original price. You're starting off at a price 10% below that. And that's a real problem, because several times I have actually looked at an item and saying, God, why is that price so low? Why are they want it? It's down to $17, and yet on eBay it's still at 30. And how did it get to 17 in the first place? It's because they make it really, really easy for you to offer discounts, and they don't give you control about how those discounts look. And so all of a sudden people are negotiating with you. They negotiate you down to nothing. So what I end up doing is having to take the item down or changing the price back up to the original price. And that is really, so I don't even bother offering. If somebody offers me a deal, then I will definitely counter them, and that's okay. But if you proactively offer a discount to either people who are watching the item or just in general, a general promotion, it lowers the price and it stays there. So unlike an eBay, which will reset, and actually Grail doesn't even have a discounting thing that I could see anyway. But eBay will reset after a while. You've offered it for 5% or 10% below what you were asking for it originally as a sell, sending an offer. You know, they don't take that offer, it expires, then it goes right back up. So that does not exist in Mercari, and you got to watch out for that, because that has nailed me more than once. And I finally now just realize it's not worth the effort to go through and start making offers. Plus, also, people could like stuff, but when they like stuff, that doesn't tell you anything. It's like, if you want something, buy it. If you know, if you want to, you know, make me an offer, but you know, and if I'm on eBay, I don't even have to take offers if I don't want to, although I will tell you that, you know, you should. But in Mercari, people are just going to offer whether or not, and they will lowball you. That is one of the big things. Also, another thing, and I've heard this from other resellers as well. They said, oh, they love the rates for selling, for shipping. So you could, just like Poshmark, you can actually get it. So you prepay the shipping, you know, in Poshmark, the buyer pays the shipping, but, you know, the seller on Mercari does, if you choose to do that. And then they give you an option where they will basically, you guarantee you a rate now to ship the item for you. Well, here's the deal is that, you know, their shipping rates are no bargain. So I would suggest when you make your listings that you specifically go out and make sure to say that you're going to ship it on your own, and then just use Pirate Ship. Okay. I mean, there's no integration with Mercari, with Pirate Ship. So you kind of do have to do the cut and paste thing, but you know, you're not going to sell as much on Mercari as you do on eBay. So that probably is probably not going to be a problem. But you need to do that. Okay. So, cause I will tell you a good example is that when I sell a flannel shirt's probably going to cost me between $5 and $7 to ship out. Actually, the rates are kind of fluctuating right now because of COVID, but traditionally it's between, let's say, $5 and $7.50, call it. And you know, $9.99 on Mercari, but you know, it's guaranteed. And you know, if it's a couple ounces over, guess what? You know, you're going to be fine. But you know, if you're shipping a lot, you know what things weigh traditionally. So, you know, you build it into your price. You kind of say, okay, this is going to cost me $5. Then you add $5 into your sale price, and you know, it's pretty easy to do. But with Mercari, they kind of make it, they give you this false sense of security that that you know, guess what, you lock in a rate to ship, but it's no bargain, so don't do it. Also, one thing they do that's kind of irritating is that they have this thing where it could, and I think some of the other platforms do this as well, but you can actually put in there whether or not you want to have a floor pricing. And then what it'll do is it'll progressively lower your price until it sells up to a certain point to that floor price. But don't do that either. You know, listen, you know, some of the stuff on Mercari is going to be long tail. Get used to it. You know, I just paused this recording for a second because I got a sale, and it was something I listed like 8 months ago, you know, but it doesn't take much room, you know, don't let them dictate, because all they want to do in all the platforms is all they want to do is sell products so they can make commissions. Sell it for what you want to sell it for, not what they want to sell it for. And by the way, there's a little meter on the right side that says, okay, it's going to be a slow sale. They're wrong. Yeah, maybe it's a slow sale on Mercari, but it's not a slow sale across all the platforms because you're cross-listing. Remember, we talked about that. You're cross-listing. And so that being said, you got to go through and you got to make sure that you don't fall for their suggested prices. Now, that all being said, my margin on Mercari is 54%. So it's better than eBay. It's better than Grailed. And, you know, but that's only because I treat it the way I treat it. If you just lower your price and do all this stuff, you're going to lose that margin pretty quickly. So don't fall into that. But if you do what I do is basically just, it's another platform. Don't get too desperate to sell and just follow what I just said. Then you can have your margins, where they need to be. Okay. So, the last one I sell on, that I'm going to cover today anyway, is Poshmark. Now, I stopped selling a Poshmark for a while, largely because it was mostly women's clothes. And I don't really carry a lot of women's clothes. I do have some. But recently, they've been really pushing for adding men's clothes to the platform. So I definitely think, so I went back and I had my outsourcing company, my VAs, go out and post on Poshmark. Now, the thing about Poshmark that really is kind of irritating is that they're really irritating for me because I'm not really using social media to its full extent as it is, let alone going out and actually sharing my closet and doing all the things you need to do with Poshmark. Now, I used a bot for a while. Now, when you, I'm going to really tell you, if you use a bot, make sure you monitor that bot because they will eventually go out and ask you whether you're there or whether or not it's, you know, whether a human is behind all that sharing. And you got to be able to click yes in a timely fashion. Otherwise, they'll shut you down. You just got to make sure that you do that because it's against their rules to use a bot. But I found actually, listing on Poshmark is really easy. That's actually the easiest. I mean, Mercari is pretty easy too. But it's pretty easy. And, matter of fact, I wish eBay was that easy. You don't have to put a lot of keywords and things like that you would normally put in eBay, because, you know, like for instance, color is a selection versus actually putting in the title like I do today. And if you use the list perfectly, the title length for Poshmark is not too bad. It's not like Mercari, which is 40, which is half of what eBay is. So the point is, it's a pretty easy platform to list on. And now a lot of people are afraid of Poshmark because it's 20% commission, 20%. And, but traditionally most people, on Poshmark pay shipping. So you could offer, when you offer discounts, and those discounts expire, by the way, unlike Mercari, they expire. So that's good. But when you offer a discount, you have to offer some kind of shipping discount that kind of make you do that. But the shipping is actually pretty good. And one of the things that I really, really like about it is it's cheap. It's not like Mercari, who's trying to sell you a $10 shipment, a $7 shipment for $10. I mean, they actually have a really good deal with the post office. Poshmark does, but a lot of people are afraid of that 20%. So they say, oh, it's eating too much of my profits. Cheaper to sell on eBay and so on. And I would say if you start adding in all the fees that eBay charges, and I will tell you, it's not better. And I'm just going to jump to the chase here. My Poshmark margin, 75%, 75. I mean, that is 20 points above Mercari, which is the next level. And it's been consistently that way. So if I look back to January, I'm going to read these numbers off for you. Kind of boring, but I'll do it anyway. So January, 68%, February, 74%, March, 73%, April, 71%, May, 81%, geez. June, 83%, that was also good. July, 76%, August, 64%, September, 74%, and of course, right now, 75%. And we're not done yet, so maybe it'll go up and down a little bit, but it's not gonna go down to 50%, right? So I find that people do negotiate on Poshmark, but not nearly as much as the other platforms. I don't know what it is. So your average sale price, which is something I suggest you also keep. And now I've got to go to my spreadsheet here. What's my average sales price? So my average revenue is $27.89 on Poshmark. Now that $27.89, I've already pulled all the fees out because, you know, the way they calculate, they take them off the top. So I've taken all those fees out already. That's pretty good, but I don't have a hell of a lot of shipping associated with that. So that's pretty much pure profit of that. So if I go to eBay, for instance, this $26.71 is my average sale price. And with Mercari, it's $22.66, actually, to be exact. Of course, a lot lower. That's because of all the things that they negotiate on. And Grailed, it is $30. Now that makes sense. So Grailed is actually the issue with Grailed is that I get a lot of overseas buyers. That's one of the reasons why my margin's 50%, you know, cause obviously my average sales price is pretty high. So anyway, 75% with Poshmark. So don't be afraid of Poshmark. That's what I'm saying. Okay. This is all gross margin. My net margin, you got to start taking out things like, you know, your rent and insurance and so on. We talked about that in knowing your numbers. So my net margin for everything, and I'm going to say, and really honestly, COVID has really not helped this. My net margin is 26%, 23%, 31%, 22. This is when COVID hit 22. Actually, it was, got a negative. Oh, just noticed that. That's not good. Anyway, so 22% in June, not too great. 27 July, 22 in August, 23 in August, sorry. And now I'm at 29 for September. And then, we're not over with the month yet, but I'll probably end up about 25. So in other words, for every dollar that I make $1.25 back. So that's pretty good. And, going back to that conversation about, buy, sell, double money. If you think about that, for every dollar I spend, I get $1.25 on average back. And so the key is if you're investing $100,000 a year in your business, making the number up, you're going to get $125,000 back. That is a win. I mean, if you can't make that anywhere on the stock market, loaning your friend money, I mean, it's one of the best businesses to be in, and the margins just play out that way. So given that, you would say, well, how come you're selling on eBay when you could sell everything on Poshmark and then you could make 75%? Well, it doesn't work that way, as you know. The reality is if I only sold on Poshmark, I wouldn't be able to make a living. There's just not enough volume there. And now I don't know anybody that sells only on Poshmark for a living. Not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying it's highly unlikely that you're going to do that. On eBay, if I were to have to choose one platform, it's not because of the margins. I would choose eBay because it's just the volume. I sell much more on eBay. And still, my margins would probably be more in the 20% range if I just sold it. Well, probably not, even though since I sell so much on eBay, it probably wouldn't change my margins too much, my net margins. But the point is that because my overall margin across all the platforms is 52%. So if you were to consolidate them, it'd be 52%. So you could tell that eBay makes the lion's share of my business, right? So that's going to be for you too. I mean, again, there might be a few out there that disagree with me and they're making it happen. By the way, if you're making it happen Poshmark only, please tell me how you do that because I'd be all over that. I love 75% margins. So, that being said, you need to, from there, you need to kind of know what your average sales price is. Again, my average sales price this month was $26. It's usually around $25 to $26. It's, pretty stable. And then, my gross margin, would be about 52%. Like I said, again, that's pretty stable. It's been as high as 57% and it's been as low as 49%. So let's call it 50%. So I'm making about 13.5 bucks, 1371. Here we go. 1371. For an item that sells for $26. That's really good, actually. And, most people strive to make $10 an item, and I'm making $13.71 an item. And actually, my target, to put it out there, is about $16 or $17, a little bit shy of $17. And I think that you'll get that in volume because what happens is that as your sales grow, the fixed costs in your business stay fixed. And so, that margin right there is how it's made up, right? Okay. So I think this episode has run its course. We've gotten 30 minutes in here. I think you guys pretty have a good comprehensive view of the platforms and kind of expected margins and, for my type of business. Obviously, that's my experience. Other people's experience might be different. And I would suggest that you, post on all of them and use like a List Perfectly, which I talk about every single episode. I didn't have a commercial today for it, but still go to my website and take a look at List Perfectly because it's, if you're going to cross post, don't do it by spreadsheet, do it by List Perfectly. Okay. So, that being said, they are a sponsor of the show. So, please use my referral link, but, it's the same price. If you don't, except for with you use the referral link, you get like 30% off your $30. Is it 30% or $30? I don't know. You have to look at the website, off your first order if you use that link. All right. Thank you very much. And, I know this is a really quick episode, just put it together last minute. So I hope it's not too disjointed, but please reach out to me and listen to the podcast wherever podcasts are listened to. And please visit the website for a bunch of details about the show. And also if you want to get in touch with me. All right. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.